Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries, and we welcome you back again today. Today, I want to talk a little bit about a parable from Matthew 10:32-38. This is a parable of the swords and the foes. I think I've talked about it once before a little bit, but let me read something to you, and then we'll discuss a little bit here for you. It says, while the unashamed confession of Christ is a great duty of all he calls to follow and serve him, he here reminds us that such confession is still necessary, even though it proves disturbing. There's light upon one of those hard and apparently contradictory sayings of our Lord. Was not his birth heralded as bringing peace on earth? Did he not say, in me there's peace? And is he not our peace? Is he not portrayed as the Prince of Peace? Well, yes, you know, all this is true. But it's likewise true that he cannot give his great heavenly peace till he has disturbed our low and at times our false earthly peace. You know, that is so true. We do know and we do portray Christ as the Prince of Peace. He, you know, and the love of Christ and the peace of Christ be with you. Those things are important. They're true. They're biblical. And it is certainly one of Christ's major attributes. But we also have to understand that just like it says, you know, he cannot give his great heavenly peace, which is what he is giving us, till he has disturbed our low and at times our false earthly peace. We are so content with ourselves and our life sometimes, we forget. Christ came to give us something that we could not give. See, and that's, we got to understand that. His gift to us is something that we have no way of getting without him. So let's go on. It says, this seeming paradox was intended to prepare the disciples for the strife and division their true witness would entail. And boy, that is the truth, isn't it? He was trying to prepare these guys because they had at first no idea the strife and division that would be caused by what they were witnessing. They were witnessing the Lord. They were witnessing the Christ and the gospel message. They had no idea in the beginning what types of divisions and strife that message would bring to people. Let's go on here. It says, was it not revealed to the mother of our Lord that a sword would pass through her own soul also? Luke 2:35 says that. A sword would pass through her own soul also. Now he illustrates the effects his work and witness and also that of his children would produce. See, the figure of the sword meant that his cause, the cause that Jesus brought now, would be division, even to the breaking up of households, but that amid all the separations, his own people must be loyal to him. You see what that's saying? The cause that Christ came for, would be a division, even to the point where some of the families would break up over who believed in him and who didn't. And, you know, but amid all of that, followers of Christ, even though they may have to be separated from their family, they had to remain loyal. They must remain loyal to him, to Christ, because his truth would be contrary to all the impulses of the human soul. Inevitably, divisions would arise, no doubt about it. There would come deadly opposition between eternally hostile principles, penetrating into and rending asunder dearest ties. You see, it's some man and wife would even sometimes be separated over who believed Christ and who didn't, and who would follow him and who wouldn't, and the faithful must follow. The faithful must be faithful to him, or the followers must be faithful to him. That's what he said, you know, you have to. His own must be loyal to him. That's the way it works. It says, there would come deadly opposition between eternally hostile principles, penetrating into and rendering asunder dearest ties. He who alone can fashion true households, yet wields a sword and divides households. You see, we try to make everything so difficult, but we just have to make it for what it is. Christ came, and we know that if we follow Christ, we can have one of the best lives ever for eternity. Our life here on earth will even be better because we are, in some ways, because we're followers of Christ. We'll have the peace of knowing that we are followers of Christ and that our reward awaits us, so no matter what happens. But if you take a man and a woman who both are followers of Christ, their life is going to be so much easier on them than if they tried to join together with differing beliefs. When Jesus spoke of foes of one's own household, had he in mind his own brother according to the flesh who had not yet believed in him? That's a good question. This we do know, that the treason of Judas against Jesus was an extension of the psalmist's complaint. Psalm 41, 9, 55, 12 through 14. And also Micah 7, 6 and John 13, 18. If we read that, we'll see there's a lot in there about that. Psalm 41, 9, 55, 12 through 14, Micah 7, 6 and John 13, 18. Now, often in a home, there arises a necessity of a choice between Christ and the nearest relations. This is a severe test a Jew or a Roman Catholic often has to face when stepping out for Christ. See, we probably never thought about that, did you? When a Jew changes his mind and becomes a follower of Christ, instead of saying he's still looking for the Christ, I mean, man, I tell you what, that's a test for him. And the same with Catholics. We know that they believe different. They differ in their teachings. But such obedience to the higher supernatural calling, no matter what cost is involved, constitutes the cross to which Jesus referred. You see that? The disciples knew what it was for their master to take up his cross, and they came to experience what it was to endure ignominy, suffering, and death for his dear sake. Our cross is not the daily burdens or irritations coming upon us, but a preparedness to go forth, even to crucifixion. The pith of our Lord's paradoxical maxim about losing life to find it is summed up for us in this couplet. The life of self is death. The death of self is life. You see how that makes sense now? If you are a follower of Christ, you should understand what that says. The life of self is death. If all you believe in is yourself, you're going to have eternal death. But if you die to yourself and become alive with Christ, you have eternal life. All those who pass a sentence of death upon themselves, or who accept Christ at whatever cost, are assured that the reward of such discipleship is great. There is a reward of the dignity of ambassadorship we will witness before, and the promise and prospect of a glorious reward when Jesus appears to judge every man's service of what sort it might be. So see, we have to be willing. We just have to be willing to sacrifice. We have to be willing to be true to the Lord. If we claim Jesus as our Savior, and if we're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to live for Him, then we have to be, folks. It's not a little bit here, or maybe we can do a little of this, or, well, how about if I, you know, just following part way. You know, we must be loyal to Him. We have to be able to be, we have to be able to be willing to sacrifice everything for Christ. Now, He may not ask you to. Do you understand what I'm saying here? He may not ask you to sacrifice everything. You may not ever be forced into the situation where you have to make that big of a decision. But if faced with the decision of living for yourself, or living for someone else, or living for Christ, you have to follow Christ. That's what this is all about. You have to be able to be in the position to where whatever it takes, you have to do it. You know, and I know that's hard. It's hard because people will say, well, I can't leave my family to follow Christ. I just can't do it. I won't do it. No, God would ask me to. I don't know what to say to that except for read your Bible and see what the Lord says. You follow Christ. You know, and maybe that's why, you know, Christ told you. Any of you out there who are joined together with unbelievers, you know, the Bible told you, do not be yoked together with, you know, with unbelievers. There's a reason for that. There's a reason he told you that. Because you have to make a decision. You're going to follow Christ, or you're going to follow yourself. You're going to follow man. You're going to follow what Satan tells you is right. You're going to follow what you think is right. Well, when you start doing all that, you know, you've just allowed Satan to control your mind. Now you're following everything but Christ, and you can't do that. You have to put yourself, I should say, in a position where you are going to be faithful to Christ, and he certainly will be faithful to you. There's no doubt about that. But you have to be that way. You have to be willing to understand that the Lord expects something from each one of us. You know, we just have to. The disciples learned the hard way. They knew. They seen what was happening, and they were killed and tortured. But they didn't turn against their Lord. They didn't deny him. They lost their life because they knew that even if they died, they would live. And that's what we have to come to, the point where we have to come to. We have to believe without a doubt, without any doubt, that if we die, believers in Christ, we live. But if we die not believing in Christ, you know what? It's death forever. It's torture forever. That it's a simple, simple gospel, if we allow it to be. Believe in the Lord with all your heart, and he will be faithful to you too. But ask him to be your Savior. Repent, turn from sinful ways. Don't sin anymore. But we're all going to make mistakes, of course, but don't willfully sin. That's the difference. Those who willfully sin, it's a whole different story than those who make mistakes. You have to pass a sentence, just like it said, all those who pass a sentence of death on themselves, or who accept Christ at whatever cost, well, they're assured that the reward of such discipleship is great. Isn't that wonderful? You can be assured, no matter what, that if you pass a sentence of death on yourself to live for Christ, your reward is going to be so wonderful, so, so wonderful, so, so wonderful. I don't know how else to say it. It's just going to be wonderful. More than anything on this earth could ever, ever give anybody. And maybe that's the problem, folks. We just don't take heaven serious. We don't take hell serious. But I'm telling you what, they're both very serious. And we better start paying attention to what heaven is and what hell is. You know, I don't want to be there and not in hell. I want to be in heaven with my Lord, don't you? Well, I ask you to understand and accept the Lord as your Savior. Listen, good to have been with you today. We're going to talk some more tomorrow. God bless each one of you. Jesus loves you, folks. Jesus does love you.
We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, CAMPPOINT, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.